Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Little change of pace this morning. There were a couple of questions that I wasn't so satisfied with the answers, so I'm going to revisit those questions. And I also checked to see if I understood the questions correctly when I answered them, and I didn't. First of all, there's a real simple one. What's the meaning of Brahma? So if anybody out there that's listening has a scriptural reference other than what I'm about to say, please send it to me so we can speak on it tonight or tomorrow. But, you know, Google Guru says Brahma is a noun, and there's two different categories of Brahma. A masculine noun is Brahman. We know what Brahman means. And then there's a nominative singular, I don't know what that Sanskrit quality is or rule, that's Brahma. So it's connected with Brahman. We all know what Brahman is, and Brahma is the nominative singular in Sanskrit. So again, if somebody out there that's hearing knows a scriptural reference that says specifically the meaning, please send it in and we'll cover it. Now the other question that came up twice, here's Jumuna Jivana's question printed out. Is my understanding correct that the residents of Vrindavan have parallel relationships with the same person, dash, feelings of awe and reverence towards the personality of Godhead Narayana, and simultaneously loving parental feelings towards Krishna? Well, not everyone, there are different rasas, but the second part is they have a rasa with Krishna, while they also have an Ishtadev, and is their Ishtadev Narayana. So they have two relationships going on at the same time, a Narayana Ishtadev relationship with awe and veneration, and a rasa with Krishna, that's whatever their rasa is. That was his question. I didn't understand his question. And the answer is, not exactly. That is to say, like the gopis, when the gopis were worshipping Katyayani, they weren't worshipping the demigoddess Katyayani, an expansion of Durga. They were worshipping Yogamaya, the spiritual counterpart of the material manifestation of the demigod or demigoddess. And similarly, because they're Brijvasis, they have a regard for Narayana as their Ishtadev, but they're overwhelmed with Madhurya feelings and within a particular rasa. But so their regard for Narayana is not the same as others who have Narayana as their Ishtadev. It's delicate and a little complicated. But not everyone has Narayana as their Ishtadev either. For example, the worshipable deity of Srimati Radharani is Suryadev, sun god. That's her worshipable deity. Now when she worships the sun god, it's not the worldly sun god any more than the gopis that were worshipping Katyayani they were worshipping the demigoddess. They were worshipping the Yogamaya potency because it's through Yogamaya potency only that one can have a relationship with Krishna as one's husband. So that's who they were worshipping, and that's our acharyas describe. So there's a little, just for fun, there's a nice lila of Radha worshipping Surya. Just like when we chant Gayatri Mantra. Some of you are chanting Gayatri Mantra. And in Gayatri Mantra, you know from the Gayatri Mantra that's found in Rig Veda, Brahma Gayatri. We call that in ISKCON, Brahma Gayatri. Some people think that Brahma Gayatri is worshipping the sun god. Some people think Gayatri Mantra, Brahma Gayatri Mantra is worshipping Brahman, the impersonal Brahman. And some people think worshipping the Gayatri Mantra, or chanting the Gayatri Mantra, is worshipping Surya Narayan. And those who are Brijbasis, they worship Surya Narayan in a very specific form. Just as they have ideas, we've been discussing this or reading it, that they addressed Krishna by various names, sometimes Madhusudana, sometimes Keshisudana. Even before the pastime took place, they would call him by those names. Kaliyadamana. So they see Surya Narayan in a way different than outside of Vrindavan, they see Surya Narayan. That's who they worship. The original personality of Godhead, and with the influence of Yogamaya, they may have regard, seemingly towards the same personality that the rest of us who are following the Aishvarya mood of worship may worship. Narayana, one of the expansions of Krishna, at least from our perspective. So here's a nice pastime. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj's description of a pastime with Radha worshipping the sun god. There's one of the nice places to visit in Vrindavan is Suryakund. It's now kind of hacked up by people that took all the trees down and sold it for money. And it's not, the beauty isn't the same as it always was. But the transcendental dimension is there. It was a place where Radha would go to worship regularly. That was her Ishtadev. As with Nanda Maharaj, it was Narayana. For Radha, it was Surya. So here's the pastime. You ready? Fasten your seatbelt. Kundalata went with Radha to the sun temple. When they came there, Jatila asked Radha, "Why are you so late?" Kundalata said, "I could not find any brahmana to do the puja, although I looked everywhere. The young gopis had already taken away all the young brahmana boys. One young brahmana from Mathura, a disciple of Gargamuni, could come. He is expert in worshipping the sun god, and his name is Vishwasharma." It's a nice Brahmin name in UP. "He met Krishna at Kamyavan, where he was herding his cows. Then he came to bathe at Arishta Kund, also known as Shamakund, because it's near where Arishta was killed at Shyamakunda was formed. There, we asked him to come with us to do Surya Puja, but Madhu Mangal, who knows your faults, speaking to Jatila, became angry at your bitter words and forbade this boy to go to see you. Jatila said, "Now where is this boy?" Kundalata said, "He's looking at the beauty of the forest." Jatila, "Bring him here carefully." Kundalata, "Knowing your character, he does not want to come." Jatila said, "Go there with Dinishta and tell this boy that if he doesn't want to come, I will give him nice sweets and a big reward, and he can take Madhu Mangal along with him too." Being thus repeatedly petitioned by Jatila, Kundalata and Dhanishta quickly went to get Krishna, Vishwasharma, who came along with them, and Madhu Mangal, dressed as a brahmana, as the Vedas personified. Jatila honored Krishna when he came, and Krishna happily blessed her, saying, "May your son have many cows, and may your daughter-in-law be all auspicious," giving his benedictions and blessings. When he began the worship, Krishna said, "What is the name of your daughter-in-law?" Jatila said, "Radha." Upon which Krishna became astonished and said, "This is that qualified girl whose chastity is known even Mathura." Clever Krishna. "You are blessed to have such a daughter-in-law." Then he said to Radhika, "I never do puja to the sun god without being accepted as priest. So you must accept me. You see, I never touch women. So touch this kusha grass and repeat after me." Then he gave her a mantra that has a secondary meaning, but the "I accept Vishwasharma, whose dynasty bestows fortune on the world and who is most pure and learned, as my priest." And the same words translated differently: "I accept Krishna, whose name, Gotra, purifies the world, who is most learned in the art of conjugal love, and who gives joy to the world, as mine." "I offer my obeisances to the sun god, who is the friend of the lotuses, and who appeared before me, destroying the darkness with his splendor, and who is bright red in the morning and evening." And then there's a second meaning. "I offer myself to Basvan, Krishna, who has a golden stripe on his chest, who destroyed the affliction of lust, destroys the affliction of lust, who is the friend of the lotus-like gopis, and who is very attractive." That's the second meaning. With this mantra, you offer Argya and Padya to the golden-dressed sun who will fulfill your desires. And there's a second meaning to that. Now you offer yourself to the golden-dressed Krishna who will fulfill your desires. That was Krishna speaking. Then Madhu Mangal recited, "Swasti Racham Swasat, be ever blessed," and told Radha, "Radhe, to complete the worship of the sun and to increase your wealth of cows, you must now offer some cows to him," the priest, Krishna, Vishwasharma. With devotion, Jatila offered the priest the sweets and Radha's golden finger ring. But Madhava smiled and said, "We don't accept prasad from the demigods. We are exclusive Vaishnavas. I'm a pure celibate Brahmana, so I don't accept gifts from other castes. I am the disciple of the omniscient Garga Muni, and I know the astrological and marine scriptures. My greatest reward is the love of the people of Raja, like you. Jatila whispered something to Kundal in Kundalata's ear, and Kundalata told Hari, "The revered Jatila wants you to read the hand of her daughter-in-law to see what is her future." Hari said, "We do not touch women. But because I love you, I will still look at Radha's hand from a distance. Spread the hands of this chaste girl out before me." Kundalata did this, and when he saw Radha's hand, he began to cry, horripilate, and shiver in ecstasy. Krishna concealed his ecstasy. With his astonishment, he said, "Aha! How amazing! I can see from the auspicious signs on her hand that this girl is the goddess of fortune herself. As she cast her merciful glance, we have our desires for wealth fulfilled. And wherever she lives, all is auspicious and opulent." Then Krishna said to Jatila, "What's the name of your son?" When Jatila told him, and Hari saw his horoscope, he was amazed and said, "Oh, old one, Jatila, this boy has many difficulties in life." Oh, excuse me. It's not Sridham, it's her son, Abhimanyu. "But they are nullified by the influence of this chaste girl." Hearing this, Jatila was very happy and placed Radhika's two valuable jeweled rings before Krishna as reward. Then Subal came and said, "Oh, Vishwasharma, Hari waits for you to come with Madhumangal and eat fruits and milk from him, because fruits and milk is all that Brahmanas accept from lower castes." Krishna said, "I don't accept food cooked by non-Brahmins. Gargi, the daughter of Gargamuni, has invited me today, and I'm going there quickly. Madhumangal, you can take the food." Madhumangal said, "Oh, old woman, give me the reward for my blessings." And Jatila gave him the golden ring from her own finger. Getting this, Madhumangal was very happy and repeatedly slapped his armpits. He bound the food in his cloth and danced, praising Jatila. Then, urged by Jatila, he told Krishna, "Accept her reward, otherwise her sacrifice is not complete. Please take the reward. If you do not need it, then give it to another Brahmana." That's him, right? "It will be for the benefit of this avowed lady." Although Krishna repeatedly refused, Madhumangal said, "I will accept the result of your shortcoming," bound the two rings in his cloth and laughed. Jatila told Krishna, "Oh, Brahmana, I will be so fortunate if you come to my house. I will accept you as my priest of the sun god and give you a big fee." Saying this, Jatila bowed down to the two Brahmanas. Feeling satisfied, she returned home with Radhika and her friends. When Radha went home with Jatila, she repeatedly turned her neck, looking behind her on the pretext of speaking with Lalita and the others, just to look back at Murari, who was going out of sight now. Although Radha drank the nectar of his lotus-like face, like a honeybee with the waves of her glances, she could not be satiated. This made her suffer. So, Jamuna Jivana, not everyone holds Narayan as their Ishtadev. And those that do hold Narayana as their Ishtadev, that the mood is a Brijvasi mood, not like everybody else, but Ishtadev. So then, second question, do all Brijvasi Brijbasis and Gopas know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And which Radha was this? Huh? Okay. Radha, I hope you're listening, because here's a more detailed answer. This is what our morning class is about. We're not going to go to something else. I was a little puzzled by both questions, and what I'm accustomed to hearing is now confirmed from the research that I did, and that is, in Vrindavan, the mood of love for Krishna is their particular rasa that's covered with madhurya. That is, covered with madhurya means, oh, they're like the cowherd boys, or like Jatila. Oh, so she's elder. But her opposition to meeting with Radha and Krishna is part of the sweetness, the happiness of the meeting, because without opposition it's one thing, and with opposition it's another thing. So everyone, the peacocks and the cows and everybody, the cowherd boys, there's some flavor of wishing to see the happiness of Krishna meeting with Radha. And so they play different roles that assist that. There's other dimensions, primary rasa, and there's also this additional flavor within their rasa. So, and even in their cowherd boy or elders, it's this language is used over and over, the possessiveness and the natural affection and attachment. Those terminologies are used because that's this madhurya feature. Sweet, intimate, not only conjugal love, but sweet and intimate, madhurya, madhu, like honey. So that's the predominating feature, and from time to time, I was using this language, Krishna will pull back the curtain, and they go, wow. So, and then the curtain closes. And they not just they get over it, but they completely forget it. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, a very interesting description is provided by Sanatan Goswami, that regularly, at intervals, Krishna will go to Mathura, and there's that crescendo of feelings of separation. And then Krishna will come back. And it's like they forgot that Krishna went away. Because they're, and then the pastime happens again, and Krishna goes away, and they're smashed. And then Krishna, but they forget each time. This is the yoga maya, because it's such an intense rasika feeling, love and separation, that it goes on again and again. And they don't even remember. That's the capacity. Like Mother Jasoda, when Krishna allowed Mother Jasoda to see the universes within his mouth, she nearly fainted, but then later on she forgot. But then sometimes she remembered, but it was the yogamaya potency, the sweetness feature is so predominant that they just forget. So even if they have glimpses. So I'm going to read now from two sections that of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that say the same thing I just summarized. And this is in our lovely canto 10, chapter 8, the same section where Gargamuni does the name giving. So when Krishna is in the same chapter 8, this is where Mother Jasoda looks in Krishna's mouth. Mother Jasoda, by the grace, this is 10, 8, 43, and 44. Mother Jasoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. This is a different pastime where she's breastfeeding and she opens Krishna's mouth and she sees the universes within. It happened twice. There's the other one where they're with the cowherd boys. And the boys say, Krishna ate dirt. This is a different one. But same Leela. Purport. Although Mother Jasoda could understand the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yogamaya. This is Prabhupada's purport, chapter 8. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? She could not think otherwise, and thus she forgot all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yogamaya. Mohana Sadyamya Mayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yogamaya. And then here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on 10.8.43. Discerning the truth in this way, she desired to give up her sense of possessiveness. This is the special feature of the Brijvasis, possessiveness. Not in the worldly sense of possessiveness, like Krishna is my own, and he says want to serve him. But then the Lord, as a small boy, thought, who will cuddle me? Who will hold me? And when he thought in this way, the very form of affection for her son overcame Yashoda. Mayi, in this verse, the phrase Mayi in this verse, gives the meaning of affection itself. Prema in the form of paternal or maternal affection. Maya here indicates bewilderment. Yashoda became blinded by prema. Then Jiva Goswami's commentary. Seeing her conviction, the Lord was pleased. But seeing her agitation, he became upset and then filled her with love. When she, who was protecting her, who protected her son by her motherly love, had understood the truth mentioned in the first three lines of the previous verse for the purpose of Krishna's pastimes, the Lord, who is capable of fulfilling her prayers, spread his mercy, Mayam, Yogamaya, to her even more than previously, so that she would no longer see this vision which was contrary to her love. This mercy was filled with deep affection for her son. That affection was deeper than any other person's affection. This was not material affection, but rather the Swarup Shakti of Vishnu. And then same 10.8.44, translation reads, immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. And Prabhupada's purport, Mother Yashoda regarded the vision of the universal form within Krishna's mouth as an arrangement of Yogamaya like a dream. She thought she was like dreaming or hallucinating or... As one forgets everything after a dream, Mother Yashoda immediately forgot the entire incident. As her natural feeling of affection increased, she decided to herself, now let this incident be forgotten. I do not mind. Here is my son. Let me kiss him. And that's Prabhupada's purport. Here's Vishwanath. Just as one quickly forgets a dream, Yashoda forgot completely about the universal form to the influence of Maya. In the presence of Aishwarya Gyan, affection is restricted. Now, her affection was unrestricted. Rather, it increased even more. She is described as, quote, one whose heart was spread, Kalila, with increased affection. And Jiva Goswami's commentary, suddenly she forgot about questioning what had happened. She put the child, who was born from her womb, on her lap, just as she had previously. As previously her heart had strong affection, this confirms that she forgot what had previously happened. And there's another different but similar example, in principle similar, and that is the pastime of, this is chapter 28, canto 10, which is the agents of Varuna kidnapped Nanda Maharaj. You know the pastime? He was taking his bath on the Dwadasi morning, and the agents of Varuna said, whoa, he's taking his bath at the wrong minute. And so they grabbed him from underneath and took him to the abode of Varuna. Nanda disappeared. And the Brijbasis, their king, is gone. So they were, oh, Nanda Maharaj is gone. So Krishna said, I'll see if I can find him. So Krishna and Balaram entered the sea, entered the river, and went to the abode of Yamaraj, but the abode of Varuna. And when Krishna and Balaram reached the abode of Varuna, there he saw his father. There he saw Varuna and the agents of Varuna. Varuna got off his throne, came right before Krishna, and started worshiping Krishna right in front of Nanda Maharaj, and said, you know, here's your father back. I've understood why you've come. So thank you very much. And he went back. And then when Nanda Maharaj went back, he described everything to the elders and said, I don't know who this boy is. Varuna was worshiping him. So maybe this, maybe that. And, you know, Krishna did something like what he had done with the other case. And then Krishna decided, so this is like the curtain is drawn back again. Who is he? So the astonishment, secondary rasa again. So Krishna decided he wanted to show them the spiritual world. Chapter 28 of Canto 10, text 16 and 17. The cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to Brahma Hrada. H-R-A-D-A. Hrada means lake. Made to submerge in the water, and then lifted up. From the same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world, the cowherd men saw the planet of the absolute truth. Purport. Now this is not Prabhupada, this is his followers. The unlimited extension of spiritual light called Brahmajyoti in text 15, that's the previous verse of this text, is compared to a lake called Brahma Hrada. Lord Krishna submerged the cowherd men in that lake in the sense that he submerged them in the awareness of the impersonal Brahman. But then, as indicated by the word uhritta, he lifted them to a higher understanding, that of the personality of Godhead in his own planet. As clearly stated here, They saw, just as Akura did, the transcendental abode of the absolute truth. Paragraph. The evolution of consciousness may be briefly summarized as follows. In ordinary consciousness, we perceive and are attracted to the variety of material things, you know, sense objects. Rising to the first stage of spiritual consciousness, we transcend material variety and focus instead on the undifferentiated one, which lies beyond and gives existence to the many. Finally, rising to Krishna consciousness, we find that the absolute spiritual one contains its own eternal variety. In fact, since this world is a mere shadow of the eternal existence, we would expect to find spiritual variety within the one. And indeed, we do find it in the sacred text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Paragraph. Astute readers may note that the pastime involving Akrura takes place later in the Bhagavatam, after the present affair with the cowherd men. The reason Shukadeva Goswami says Akrura saw Vaikunthapura previously is that all these incidents took place many years before the conversation with Shukadeva Goswami in Maharaj Pariksit. The chronology question. Okay, so here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this text, 16 of chapter 28. Krishna gave them realization of Brahman, in which there is no particular awareness, as if immersing them in a lake. Radham. Then he pulled them out of that realization by his remarkable powers and let them see Vaikuntha. Lokam. This is stated in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, 2.7.31, that is, he let them see Gokula in Vaikuntha. This is the tenth canto, making reference to something spoken in the second canto. Paragraph. As the materialist is taken from the lake of matter to realization of Brahman, so the cowherd men were taken from the lake of Brahman realization to realization of Vaikuntha. Krishna delivered them from the dangerous, destructive Sayuja to the blissful Vaikuntha. The realization of Vaikuntha with prema is superior to the realization of happiness in Brahman with no prema. But superior to the realization of happiness in Vaikuntha with prema is the realization of happiness in Gokula with prema. Paragraph. To this Vaikuntha previously Akrura had gone. In this Vaikuntha previously Akrura saw the Lord. Previously indicates that it was previous to the conversation between Shukadeva and Maharaj Pariksit, though the narrative occurs later. Interesting. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Giving details, what they saw is now described. He brought them to that place which is beyond Prakriti, or Brahman, and difficult to enter, like a lake, Ridham. He immersed them in it, : by his power he made them inquire about this condition, and they attained realization of that state. Then he pulled them out. Surpassing the initial general manifestation of spirituality, they then saw the place of Parabrahman in human form, since they were qualified for the manifestation of his special form revealed through his Swarup Shakti. They saw this directly with their eyes. because they're Brijbasis. Paragraph. This was not something never experienced before in this manifestation Akrura also saw or praised Vaikuntha Loka. The Lord then, gratified by his worship, showed Brahma Mahavaikuntha to which nothing is superior, which is free of suffering, confusion, and fear of offenses, and which is praised by the devatas, who constantly see the self. In Vaikuntha, there's no rajas and tamas, no sattva mixed with rajas and tamas. There's no influence of time. There's no influence of maya at all, what to speak of its products, such as material elements. In Vaikuntha, the inhabitants are fully dedicated to the Lord and are worshipable by the devas, asuras, and devotees. Above Brahmaloka, that's Brahman effulgence, is sometimes called Brahmaloka, is the supreme abode of Vishnu. They know this as Parabrahman, the eternal light. The place called Vaikuntha is beyond the material world, endowed with six qualities, devoid of the three material gunas, and not obtainable by non-devotees. This place is endowed with unlimited qualities, great effulgence, difficult to understand, invisible to material eyes, incomparable, supremely blissful and beyond the senses. When the world becomes invisible by the Lord, that place which the renowned sages enter shines. Krishna brought them to Brahma Hrida, the holy place of Akrura, in order to glorify that place, or because of his sport. By his order, they went in and came out, and then saw Goloka. They saw Vrindavan as a special place. In that holy place, Akrura previously saw Vaikuntha. Special respect is given to this place, since it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all scriptures. Because the sequence of events is being narrated, the statement does not correspond with later events. It's like saying it happened at another time. And finally, this is 10:28:17. Nanda Maharaj, this is after they had their experience, so how do they process it? Nanda Maharaj and the other cowhead men felt greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering him prayers. And then they forgot everything. Purport. Although the residents of Vrindavan considered themselves ordinary persons, Lord Krishna wanted them to know of their extraordinary good fortune. Thus, within a lake in the Jamuna River, the Lord showed them his personal abode. Now, there's commentary says this Hrida can be taken in two ways. Literally, Brahma Hrida means, Brahmajyoti, or it can mean, Hrida can mean actually a lake like the Kaliya Lake within the River Jamuna. It can mean either. The cowherd men were amazed to see that the kingdom of God had exactly the same spiritual atmosphere as their earthly Vrindavan. And that, just as in their Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was personally present, in their unique vision, he was present as the Lord of the spiritual world. Paragraph. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out, these verses emphasize that Lord Krishna did not merely show the cowherd men a sample of Vaikuntha planet, but he specifically revealed his Krishna Loka, the greatest of eternal abodes, and the natural home of the residents of Vrindavan, who love Krishna more than anyone else. Just one more page and we're finished for this morning. So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Seeing Mahavaikuntha, this Mahavaikuntha, It's language, we came across this with Padma Purana. Padma Purana speaks of there's Vaikuntha, then there's Mahavaikuntha. In the Padma Purana, it says specifically that Ayodhya is in that Mahavaikuntha realm. And here it's Krishna Loka is in the Mahavaikuntha realm. You know, amongst the Vaikuntha planets, it's the topmost. That's what this Mahavaikuntha language means. Seeing Mahavaikuntha, the coward men were filled with the highest bliss. This is because the experience of Vrindavan in Goloka of Vaikuntha was similar to the Vrindavan on earth. It is just like a millionaire who, having lost all his wealth, becomes full of bliss and finding some clue to the wealth. But then they began searching for Krishna with the lotus face covered with drops of perspiration, worshipable by millions of their life heirs. Nice poetry. Seeing him, they were astonished to see him because being praised by the meters of verses personified. Quote, where have these effulgent beings praising Krishna come from? They are unknown to us, the personified Vedas. But we cannot ask them who they are. Though seeing us, he does not show his boyish manners and come towards us. He does not embrace us with his two arms, and we are restrained from approaching him and taking him on our laps. Today he has forgotten hunger and thirst. How can his mother live without feeding him? In this way they were astonished. Yogamaya sent by the Lila Shakti then brought them back to the earthly Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami has explained this fact in a verse in Stavamala. Quote, may you be protected by Mukunda, who, in order to teach the coward men that there is no place as sweet as earthly Vrindavan, showed them effortlessly Vaikuntha and then brought them back to earthly Vaikuntha. The Dham of Krishna is called Gokula. The Dham of Krishna called Gokula is supreme, the supreme abode. It is the center or pericarp of a lotus with 1,000 petals and is sustained by a portion of the spiritual energy of Baladev called Ananta. One can reach Swarga by control of the senses and mind and execution of pious acts. One can reach Vaikuntha by engaging in meditation on Vishnu, but it is very difficult to attain Goloka. And the planet protected personally by you, Gokula, O hero, and which destroys the suffering of the cows and other inhabitants, is the residence of the determined and disciplined devotees. That's a quote from Harivamsa. Almost done. Krishna, who plays eternally with his associates in Goloka, which is a particular manifestation of Vrindavan, manifesting within invisible forests on earth, appears sometimes with his associates in the material world with visible form. These associates are eternally present with Krishna. This is understood from scriptures which describe Krishna with his devotees. When the associates appear in many forms to nourish the rasa and the pastimes, Krishna produces a separate identity for each form. I sent out something on this. I mentioned it already. Mysteriously, the perfected souls and associates of Krishna, by Krishna's arrangement, can manifest multiple forms of themselves. Quite mysterious. When the associates appear in many forms, and there's scriptural reference to speak about it. When the associates appear in many forms to nourish the rasa of his pastimes, Krishna produces a separate identity for each form, which does not search out the other forms, since they do not make use of the eternal powers at that time. Their eternal powers. Last paragraph. Krishna showed them, that's the residents of Vrindavan, he showed them Goloka, a special manifestation of Vrindavan, situated here within the Aprakat Vrindavan. Since the forms of Prakat and Aprakat Vrindavan are actually not different, he did not reveal intimate associates other than the cowherds who were observing that place. Thus, since the personifications of the scriptures who were praising Krishna were not intimate associates similar to the regular Brijvasis who travel from place to place. Having the cowherds see the scriptures praise Krishna was to establish his credibility. Now they saw, so it's a detail, but I didn't include it. They saw Krishna, but they didn't see themselves. But they're also there. Mother Jasoda saw herself inside Krishna's mouth. Looking inside Krishna's mouth, within Krishna's mouth. Specifically it's mentioned, that wasn't shown to the cowherd men. And then they forgot everything. It's just like time passed and they gradually that memory went away. They just, Yogamaya covered them, they forgot what they saw. But Krishna wanted them, out of their love for him, he wanted to show them how fortunate they are, how special is their position. That's what he wanted to do, so he did. And then, the curtain closed. They forgot everything. But their affection for Krishna, and their, as we're hearing in Brahma's Prayers, chapter 14, his appreciation of their exaltedness, there Krishna wanted them to get a first-hand experience of their exaltedness in relation to him. So that's what he did. They're there in the spiritual world. And the counterpart is here in this material world, but they're the same. Exactly the same. Well, are they the same? As we know, which one's the original? Which one's the expansion of the original? They're eternal. They're not like, you know, once upon a time there wasn't an expansion and, okay, let's have an expansion. Poof. Not like that. When Krishna showed what he showed to Brahma in chapter 14, it's not like it came into existence and went out of existence. It was just disclosed and then withdrawn. That's Prakat and Aprakat, these two states, manifest and unmanifest. The pastimes of Krishna, speaking in broad terms, they're eternal pastimes. Now, we can't get our minds around that because, that is to say, anything that's an event, the time energy is involved, like past, present, future. That's the events we know. Here we are. You know, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, and before that we were somewhere else, and after that we're going to be somewhere else. So there's passage of time, so we can have Bhagavatam class. But what's events that there's no past, present, future? We don't have experience of that. So how do you describe that which you don't have experience of? So his Prakat pastimes, they're not coming into being. They're just being manifested and then withdrawn. Aprakat. Their eternal pastimes. It doesn't fit within the mind. And that's good news. You know, our poor mind gets exhausted. We're touching on that topic like, you know, I don't understand this. That's so high. But it's not meant to be understood by a little puny brain. It's not meant to be like that. We're getting, by descending mercy, we're getting a glimpse of what's beyond the temporary. Temporary means time. The mind can't get around it. It's, you know, it's in a different dimension. It's eternal time. We don't have even a sense of eternal time. We have a sense of the other kind, past, present, or future time, temporal time, but not eternal time. And what's eternal activity? It's mind-blowing, beyond the mind. Good. That's a good realization. My mind can't get around this. That's a good realization. So now what do you do? Just take a different approach than trying to get your mind around it. How wonderful is Krishna? And by that acceptance of how wonderful is Krishna, then to some degree, disclosure from Krishna to his devotee can come. Like our acharyas are commenting, and they understand according to what Krishna has revealed to them. Something like we hear about Lord Chaitanya's explanation of Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya asked Srupa Damodar, how did he understand my mind? Nobody understands my mind. And Srupa Damodar said, I can understand. So the only possibility is you revealed it to him. Otherwise, one can't understand. And then Lord Chaitanya confirmed, yes, it's true. I saw in Rupa Goswami a person who's qualified, and so I invested in him all kinds of realizations. There's nothing that remains unknown to him. Something like that is spoken in Canto 2, Chapter 9, by Lord Vishnu to Brahma, and he says, the truths will be revealed to you, are hereby revealed to you, like not like sometime in the future you're going to get it. The truths will be known to you, are known to you, or something to that effect. Not like in the future. It's just by that benediction, you know, the curtain opens and then one can see. Because he's got an important service to do. He needs to understand lots of things. And without even going to school, it just can understand all kinds of things, because Vishnu said, you'll know all things. Whew. But he had qualification before that. The austerities and dedication to what he heard. Tapa and the mantra and so forth. So how does this apply to us? This is really high stuff. We're way down here. How does this apply to us? It's describing principles. And from wherever we are, the principle applies to us. We're in the sadhana bhakti, preliminary stages of sadhana bhakti, but the principle is the same. The principle starts with adau shraddha, tathat sadhu sangha bhajana kriya. We're doing bhajana kriya on the strength of some preliminary faith and association of sadhus. So here we are, practicing devotional service. So those sustain the preliminary faith in sadhu sangha, and the bhajana kriya is going to progress. We'll start to understand more than we understood yesterday, because there's a clearing procedure that's being undergoing by hearing and chanting with faith. It's not learning how to drive a car or, you know, how to make all this technology over here work. Not like that. There is that kind of knowledge, but this is another kind. The Dhammi Bodhi Yogam Tam Nina Mamo Piyantite, how to get to Krishna, that kind of intelligence and knowledge. Through sound. It works. It cleanses and it elevates through sound. And that which is like really mysterious It's how wonderful. And then gradually the clouds part and one can understand more than one did yesterday. And continue and continue. How wonderful is Krishna? Let me stay always engaged in his service. There's no better master. We have to serve somebody. There's no better master. And then some idea of what our spiritual identity is as soul, and then further and further. The truths of reality or eternal reality become gradually unfolded. So let's see if there's some discussion. All this was prompted by those questions of, do the Vrijbasis, what's their relationship with the personality of Godhead in addition to their particular rasa with Krishna? Do they have a concept of a worshipable deity, and do they understand Krishna as God? It gets covered quickly. There's very few selected situations where Krishna pulls the curtain, and then they go, whoa, and then the curtain closes again. Otherwise, when they see something wonderful, they're not disturbed. Who is he? They just, how wonderful is Krishna? Let's have lunch. Discussion.
This is Premananda Mataji's questions. Two questions from yesterday's class. First one, we usually hear one of the meanings of Krishna's name Mukunda is giver of liberation. We heard in the commentary yesterday that since devotees in Raja cannot live even for a moment without bhakti, and so the name Mukunda there cannot be uttered without Krishna Prema. So the name of Krishna as Mukunda, does it mean giver of Krishna Prema, like how it is uttered in Braja?
I'll send Prema, she asked already. I'll send her the commentary. She can read it carefully herself. Next.
The next question is, in King Kulashekara's prayers, Mukunda Mala Stotra, there is so much repetition of the name Mukunda, and he addresses both Lord Narayana and also Krishna alternately, and even glorifies Gopi's love for Krishna. Are those prayers indicative of Raja Prem or mixed because there is both glorification of Lord Narayana and Krishna?
I'm not sure. No, King Kulashekar is one of the Alvars in the Sri Sampradaya. And if my memory serves me right, he had with his love for Ram, it wasn't just majesty, it was intimacy in his love for Ram. So my understanding of his position is it went beyond the feature of Narayan is the supreme and ultimate form. He entered into spontaneous loving attraction for Ram for sure, and most likely Krishna also. But you know, that's a detail that I'd have to research carefully, review it carefully before making a comment. It's easier to say something, but I'd like it to be authoritative. So to my memory, he has some spontaneity in his devotion.
This is Keshav Kishore Prabhu. Mother Yashoda didn't feel but motherly love when she saw Krishna's universal form. But Arjuna, being a warrior, when saw the universal form, was very agitated and fearful. Do you know why this infraction? wouldn't be the opposite reaction considering their roles in which the events happened?
Well, it's not just role, it's their particular mood of love. And the particular mood of love of Mother Jasoda, not only as mother, that primary rasa, but as a resident of Braja. So, more so than rasa, friend and mother, it's outside of Vrindavan and in Vrindavan. The mood of love of the residents of Vrindavan is universally distinct and special. So my response to the question is, it has more to do with her being a Vrijvasi than anything else.
This is Sthira Mataji. In the reading, there was a phrase, the Vrajavasis were worshipping Krishna as if worshipable by millions of their life heirs. How to understand this? At my stage, there are moments where I remember Krishna, and most of the times I don't. In their stage, it was natural. Is that an understanding?
In their stage,
phrase?
What? In their stage?
In their stage, it was natural remembrance. So is that an understanding of that phrase?
Is that an understanding of?
Of the phrase, the Vrajavasis were worshipping Krishna as if worshipable by millions of their life heirs.
Yes. It's a poetic expression. Another way of saying possessiveness, another way of saying, you know, the unique love of the residents of Vraja. That's what it's indicating.
Rajat Prabhu, as you were explaining how time does not exist in spiritual world, I was thinking on the same lines. When we start practicing Krishna consciousness, we experience that time expands because of elevation of consciousness. Is that a glimpse of spiritual world?
Is that a what?
Glimpse of spiritual world.
Well, not a glimpse. It's like we're making a little progress. That's what it means. That's what it means.
Yeah. Also, are saintly personalities like Uddhava experiencing disappearance of time? Disappearance of time when they were in trance?
Yes. Time as we know it. Yes.
This is Amara Mataji's question. What is the difference between forgetfulness through Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, and what is the lesson?
We've gone over this, but it's really simple. Mahamaya is the influence of seeing separateness between the source of all things and all things, deluding potency. And Yogamaya is a deluding potency, but when it facilitates intimacy of connection, Mahamaya is disconnection and Yogamaya is connection. The influence of forgetfulness of divinity, but one is just forgetfulness altogether and the other is intimacy.
This is Radhavalla Prabhu. Do pure devotees in spiritual realm, within even the material world, experience the same deep loving connection or exchanges similar to Vrajavasis?
Read it again.
Do pure devotees in spiritual realm?
In the spiritual realm.
Within even this material world, experience the same deep.
So is this question, for your reading of the question, is you saying someone's here and Let's say that the six Goswamis are Vrindavan. They're physically in the material world, but their consciousness is with Krishna. So is their experience like the people that are in Goloka Vrindavan and their experiences with Krishna is similar? The answer is yes. Yes.
And Vishalaksha Prabhu's question. Demigod worship is discouraged by Lord Krishna, but still Jatila is encouraging to do Surya Puja through Srimati Radharani. Is there any reason for this?
Sure. Because Srimati Radharani doesn't experience Surya worship like people of this world experience Surya worship. Like the gopi is worshipping Katyayani, it's not the material demigoddess. It's the internal potency, etc. They see differently. You know, worshipping of Indra, it's not, it's perceived differently. How the Brijvasis perceive is different than how people in the material consciousness perceive. They see the spiritual counterpart. Everything has its spiritual counterpart, and that's how they see. At least there's their bhava. They're following dharma, but their bhava is connecting to the spiritual source of everything.
This is Sunil Prabhu, Sunil Sharma Prabhu. How can one feel the reciprocation of Guru and Krishna always? What are the practical steps to enhance the loving mood while serving?
Gosh, you know, practice, follow Krishna consciousness nicely, and it's there. In nectar devotion, the answer to his question is very clearly presented. We follow the vidhis in the mood of submission to Krishna and the submission to Krishna. So there's six limbs of surrender, and through the kindness of Krishna comes through the representatives of Krishna. So follow carefully Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and that sense of connection will awaken. And do those things, not mechanically, but do from the heart. Yeah.
Sri Radhika Mataji's question. I've come to realize that my learning style is to, after Shravana, contemplate how to utilize the teachings and apply them. Then I'm able to engage actively with the teachings and assimilate them so that I own them. Some teachings are easy to actively... But the question was, if I understood correctly, some teachings are easy to actively engage with, and like the one exercise that you gave in Vyasa Puja, but some of the other teachings are not like active like cultivation. So is there preference? Other teachings are meant to simply arouse a realization how wonderful is Krishna. Is a preference to engage actively...
Is what?
Is a preference...
Preference, okay.
...to engage actively with scripture merely a materially conditioned approach? And is it not helpful?
Well, we start from where we are. We can't start from where we aren't. So we're materially conditioned. We start from a materially conditioned perspective. That's okay. We start from where we are. And as we apply, however we will apply, it may be abhas, but it's elevating and purifying, and then gradually purifying. Then the goal and the means to reach the goal becomes more clear and more accurate. When we start, what does it mean to go back to Godhead? You have a clue. Sounds nice. Let's go. But as we become purified, we'll have much more sense of what that is. Back to Godhead means what? What does it look like? And so forth. So hearing from scripture helps us get purified. And then the pictures start to get clearer and more realistic. or more accurate. Okay. That's it.
I have a question.
You got to speak into the microphone, though. You're on.
I have a question regarding the gopis praying to Katyayani. I don't know if I'm wrong, all right, about Rukmani before marriage to Krishna. She also went to a temple, Katyayani temple.
Yeah.
And Sita also, before getting married to Rama,
yeah,
did the same. So in that case, the internal potency,
yes,
is
same.
Doing the
same. Because their consciousness is not material. And so the form of their worship matches their consciousness. It's the internal potency. It's Yogamaya. So the names of Yogamaya and, you know, where Yogamaya takes one may be different. You know, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Dwaraka, Ram in Ayodhya. That's Yogamaya. It's only, that's how it happens. No, it's not like, so supposing one just chants Hare Krishna and it doesn't worship Katyayani. Can we, you know, enter into that pure state? And the answer is yes. It's a dharmic exhibition of something that's all encompassed within the Hare Krishna mantra. Everything that they did is within the Hare Krishna mantra. Yes? So, the answer to your question is yes.
It's like internal potency is worshipping external
potency. No. Okay. No. When we hear they were worshipping Katyayani, each of those three, we think of the material, the demigoddess. They weren't thinking like that. Their consciousness is beyond that. They don't need something material to get something spiritual. But, you know, their mood is a mode of love. It's not even like making that discrimination between material and spiritual. It's just love. It's spontaneous love. They're, you know, they're eternal associates. They're not like getting there. It's a lila. And so it's the internal potency giving access to that fulfillment of that lila. And for us, chant Hare Krishna. It's like within Hare Krishna is everything. You know, so for us it's not lila, it's sadhana. But everything is there. Nija sarva shaktis. It's all there. Including the Yogamaya. That's one of Krishna's shaktis. Nija sarva shaktis. In each and every name. So that's what we do. And they do pastimes.
And one more question is...
It's a nice question, by the way. Nice question.
When somebody is worshipping Lord Rama, is it that their destination would be Ayodhya?
Yes.
In the spiritual,
yes,
world?
Well, generally speaking, yes. But, you know, there could be exceptions. You know, coming to mind is the famous one, Murari Gupta. You know Murari Gupta by name, physician by profession. And he was a dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha Krishna combined. But he, as Ishtadev, was Rama. So now, what happens to Murari Gupta? Well, he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. He's not like a sadhaka. He's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So where does he go after this life? Because he's attached to Lord Chaitanya and he's attached to Ram. I don't have an answer to that question. But it's like his attachment for Ram is something that's within Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya is the source of everything, the source of Ram, the source of everything, the source of all expansions of living entities and Vishnu forms and everything. So, I'm trying to circle back to what your specific question is, and I can't remember your specific question.
My question I didn't ask.
Huh? Have I answered your question?
No, my question is now, like, so what is the difference between going to Vaikuntha and going to Goloka? Like, what? How?
What's the difference? Or what's the procedure?
Your procedure.
Okay.
Sounds like procedure and difference
both. Okay. Well, the difference is Aishwarya versus Madhurya. In Madhurya, Krishna shows his Aishwarya, but Madhurya is so strong. They can't see the Aishwarya. Sometimes, we've been speaking, sometimes the curtain is, here's my Aishwarya, then the curtain closes. But because the mood of Madhurya is so strong, it's exactly the topic that I wanted to speak on this morning, so thank you. It just covers. They forget it. Not like, they kind of like struggle with it. They just forget it because the sweetness of Krishna is so strong. It overpowers them. And Krishna likes that. He likes that more. Just like at the end of the Brahma Vimohan Lila, Brahma offers these very elevated, eloquent prayers. And what does Krishna do? He doesn't say anything because he wants to go back and be with the cowherd boys and have lunch. And when he goes back, they say, oh, you're so attached to us. You can't stay away from us for a moment. Sit down and have your lunch. That intimacy, the sweetness, is Goloka or Vrindavan. And in Vaikuntha, it's majesty. And it's majesty and it's majesty. In Ayodhya, there's a degree, significant degree, more sweetness. Ram has brothers. Narayan doesn't have brothers. Ram has a mother and father. Narayan doesn't have a mother and father. Ram and Sita have children. Narayan doesn't have children. There's sweetness that's in Ayodhya that's not found in the rest of Vaikuntha, in Haridam. And then in Goloka, there's more sweetness and more sweetness and superlative sweetness. Nothing sweeter than Vrindavan. So, in Goloka, there's Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. Dwarka, more majesty, feeling. Mathura, less majesty, more sweetness. Vrindavan, sweetness. That's the distinction between Vaikuntha and Goloka. And the sweetness flows into all the rasas, and the superlative of all is Madhurya Rasa, and above all is Radharani. So are we going to, like, you know, Radharani's better than Rukmini? We don't do like that. But her love is superlative. Is it okay? That's it? Okay. Anything else before we close up? Yes? Okay.
Shri Radhika Mataji's follow-up question. Is it appropriate to approach these wonderful Krishna pastimes with an approach to wanting to engage actively with the pastime, with a view to applying them, or whether this is a very cerebral tendency that this serves us.
Or whether it's a cerebral tendency. Well, first become qualified. That's my response. And we are followers of Lord Brahma who doesn't feel himself qualified. But as followers of Rupa Goswami, when, you know, like Kusturi Manjari's question about, you know, attaining your sarup and what wanting to associate with Ragatmika Bhaktas, we're not qualified for that. So make ourselves qualified. And the qualification is purity. And going beyond purity means going beyond anarthas and the material conceptions and what we're attached to, because those attachments, that's remaining attached to material things despite understanding so many instructions. So it's not like you have to empty out your house or go live under a tree or something, but attachment and when that attachment to Krishna grows and grows and grows and the detachment correspondingly makes its way into our life. We still engage with things, but without attachment to those things. Without material attachment to those things. Like, let's say, you know, your children. So, you know, like, I'm just kind of don't care about my children anymore because I'm becoming elevated. It's the material attachment. And then it subsides and the spiritual attachment grows. You know, we don't know what that is because we're materially attached and not so spiritually attached. But the spiritual attachment grows. I mean, you know, Bhaktivinoda had 10 children. Prabhupada had children. So, but spiritual attachment, and even after he took sannyas, I heard this from Hari Sori. I didn't know until I heard it from him. Prabhupada would make arrangements that some money was sent for his wife and children from money that came to him. He didn't want them to be in difficulty. It's not out of attachment. It's out of affection. But he didn't go and hang out. He just, you know, had love for them in a transcendental sense. So what does that look like? It's going to be different for different people, but it's, the qualification of being in the position of in association with the residents of Vrindavan along with the Nitya Siddha devotees that appear with Krishna on his roadshow, there's some that join him. They have become perfect by this way, that way, and they get trained up. So it's good to have that hankering, but let us first become qualified. Let us first become pure. We have a long way to go for that one. So in the distance, we know that is a stage we'd like to achieve and then stay focused on where you are at the moment and go the next step and go the next step and go the next step. Keep going. Purity. Okay. We're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.